In 2010, Tony Danza, the beloved star of Taxi and Who's the Boss, traded his Hollywood spotlight for a classroom in Philadelphia's largest public high school. His book, I'd Like to Apologize to Every Teacher I Ever Had, chronicles this remarkable year-long experiment that began as a reality TV show but evolved into something far more profound. The memoir became a New York Times bestseller and was named one of NPR's best books of 2012, resonating with educators nationwide who found in Danza an unlikely but authentic voice for their profession. Even Oprah Winfrey praised it as required reading for anyone concerned about the state of education. What makes this story so compelling isn't just the fish-out-of-water premise of a celebrity teaching English to inner-city 10th graders, but Danza's raw honesty about his failures, insecurities, and eventual transformation. As he puts it, "I went in thinking I could make a difference in these kids' lives, but they ended up changing mine forever." At nearly 60 years old, with his ABC talk show canceled and his marriage ended, Tony Danza found himself at a pivotal crossroads. Despite his successful entertainment career spanning hits like Taxi and Who's the Boss, he had always harbored a deeper desire to teach, having earned a history degree from the University of Dubuque before boxing and acting unexpectedly diverted his path. When he mentioned this unfulfilled dream to his producer friends over dinner one night, they suggested turning it into a reality show. Initially resistant to mixing education with entertainment, Danza eventually agreed under strict conditions. The kids have to come first. No scripting, no fake drama. This has to be real teaching with real consequences. After months of rejections from school districts nationwide, many of whom feared the disruption a TV crew might cause, Philadelphia's Northeast High School, one of the city's largest and most diverse public schools, agreed to let him teach a single 10th grade English class while being filmed for A&E's Teach. The school board, understandably cautious, insisted on a safety net. Veteran teacher David Cohn would supervise Danza's work daily to ensure students received a proper education. Though Danza initially bristled at these training wheels, mandatory orientation sessions covering everything from classroom management to handling student confrontations to crafting lesson plans quickly humbled him. He realized how much he had to learn about modern teaching methods, state standards, and adolescent psychology. His first day was nothing short of a disaster. Despite meticulously preparing his classroom with encouraging banners like "No moaning, no groaning," and "Take part in your own education," and spending hours organizing supplies and decorating bulletin boards, Danza sweated through his shirt, rambled nervously about his life story, and completely forgot his carefully planned lesson on Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird. Looking out at 26 diverse faces, from basketball-loving Nakia to self-proclaimed Russian playboy to skeptical Al G, he felt overwhelmed by the enormous responsibility of shaping young minds. When the bell finally rang, he felt like he'd lost a 10-round boxing match, something he knew quite well from his earlier career in the ring. The administration made their expectations crystal clear from the start. Principal Linda Carroll warned bluntly, "If this doesn't work, you're out of here. These kids' education isn't a television experiment." While Assistant Principal DeNapolis set the tone in her own distinctive way, "I can be either your best friend or a complete bitch. It's up to you." Meanwhile, students like Monty openly questioned his qualifications, worried about their college prospects under a celebrity teacher with no formal teaching experience. Parents expressed similar concerns during back-to-school night. The pressure was immense, but Danza was determined to prove himself more than just a TV stunt, drawing on the same determination that had helped him succeed in boxing and acting. He spent nights studying curriculum guides, consulting with other teachers, and preparing detailed lesson plans, knowing that his students' futures partially rested in his inexperienced hands. Northeast High School stood as a towering testament to mid-century institutional architecture, three imposing stories of brick and concrete sprawling across multiple city blocks, complete with extensive athletic facilities and, notably, its own dedicated police station. As Philadelphia's largest public school, it served over 3,500 students from diverse backgrounds, including significant immigrant populations and students from working-class families. The school's demographics reflected the changing face of urban education, with students speaking more than 57 different languages at home and nearly 70% qualifying for free or reduced lunch programs. Danza's assignment seemed deceptively simple: teach one double-period English class to 26 10th graders. This represented just a fraction of the typical 5-class load shouldered by regular teachers, who often taught upwards of 150 students daily. However, the reality of teaching quickly shattered any illusions of ease. The complexity of managing even one class, preparing lessons that engaged diverse learners, and navigating the school's bureaucracy proved far more challenging than anticipated. His daily routine became a testament to teaching's all-consuming nature. The 4:20 a.m. alarm felt brutal, but Danza developed a militant morning routine: 50 push-ups to shake off sleep, followed by meticulous reviews of lesson plans and teaching materials. Though his class didn't begin until 10 a.m., he deliberately arrived by 7:15 each morning, understanding that earning his colleagues' respect meant sharing their early hours. Ms. DeNaples, a veteran administrator, strategically assigned him to first-period truancy duty, a baptism by fire that involved confronting tardy students and often angry parents at the school's entrance, teaching him valuable lessons about authority, empathy, and the complex social dynamics affecting student attendance. The reality show's presence added layers of complexity to an already challenging situation. A 7-person camera crew followed his every move, creating an artificial atmosphere that affected both teaching and learning. While Danza maintained his commitment to responsible reality television that prioritized educational integrity, the production team pushed for more dramatic content. During their class trip to New York's Broadway district, his producer's suggestion to set things up for more conflict represented a fundamental clash between educational and entertainment values. The successful teacher talent show, which raised funds for school programs and boosted faculty morale, disappointed producers who had hoped for backstage drama and conflicts. These competing priorities manifested in several notable incidents. The birthday celebration incident, where Danza allowed students to share cake during class time, earned a stern rebuke from Assistant Principal McCloskey about maintaining academic focus and following school protocols. The New York field trip controversy, where Danza's casual drink at the restaurant bar sparked administrative concern, highlighted the stricter behavioral standards expected of educators compared to entertainment personalities. Each incident underscored the fundamental disconnect between Hollywood's desire for compelling television and the measured, consistent approach required in education. Throughout these challenges, Danza steadfastly prioritized authentic teaching over manufactured drama. When the Philadelphia Inquirer visited during student presentations on To Kill a Mockingbird, he insisted on maintaining normal classroom operations, refusing to stage artificial moments for media coverage. This commitment to educational integrity, while admirable, created ongoing tensions with the show's producers, ultimately contributing to decisions about the program's future and raising broader questions about the compatibility of reality television with genuine educational experiences. David Cohn's post-class feedback proved invaluable. Think about doing more with less. He pointed out that Danza was trying too hard to make students like him, talking excessively and not letting students do their own work. "You're performing the class as opposed to teaching it," he observed, noting that Danza even answered his own questions. This insight helped Danza begin the transition from entertainer to educator. To engage students with literature, Danza developed creative approaches. For Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men, he organized a scavenger hunt with challenges like Pet Lenny's Dead Mouse and Buck Some Barley. To make Shakespeare accessible, he created a Shakespeare to Street exercise where students translated Julius Caesar into contemporary language. When teaching poetry, he organized a contest with flip cam prizes that inspired moving performances, including Paige's emotional recitation about an absent father and Daniel's artwork-accompanied rendition of He Sits Alone that moved even Principal Carol to tears. Field trips became another effective teaching tool. Danza arranged a Washington, D.C. excursion featuring a sing-along on the bus, surprising students with his ukulele rendition of Rihanna's Umbrella, visits to the Folger Shakespeare Library and National Archives, and a reverent stop at the Lincoln Memorial. Later, inspired by his own 10th grade teacher who introduced him to Broadway, he organized a trip to see West Side Story in New York City, the first Broadway experience for all his students. Gradually, Danza developed classroom management strategies. When Northeast implemented its uniform policy, he showed solidarity by wearing his own uniform daily, gray pants, blue shirt, and Northeast tie, despite the production team's objections that it looked too stodgy. When students debated the policy passionately, he abandoned his planned lesson to have them write and debate about it, generating more energy than anything they'd written all year. Similarly, when student Pepper handed Mrs. DeNapples a dog biscuit, his inappropriate way of calling her a bitch, Danza had him write an apology letter rather than punishing him publicly. Through these experiences, Danza discovered that effective teaching requires balancing structure with creativity, authority with empathy, and performance with authentic connection. As veteran teacher Lynn Dixon challenged him with her own six-word memoir assignment, "Once a fighter, now a teacher. Now prove it." Some of Danza's most meaningful teaching happened outside formal class time. Remembering his father, a city sanitation worker who always left half his egg sandwich for him, Danza began sharing his own lunches with students who gathered in his classroom during fifth period. This half-sandwich club became a safe space where students could relax, discuss personal issues, and receive individualized attention. For Matt, a troubled student with anger issues, Danza set up a cobra punching bag in a school locker room and taught boxing during lunch periods. Having used boxing himself as a constructive outlet for aggression in his youth, Danza hoped it might help Matt channel his energy positively. Soon, other students joined these sessions, with Danza becoming something of a Pied Piper, demonstrating 7 punch combinations to a dozen eager learners. Though Matt eventually transferred to Catholic school, these sessions built mutual respect and trust that extended into the classroom. When Danza discovered Brittany struggled with reading, he sat with her daily, trading passages from To Kill a Mockingbird and helping with difficult words. Learning she had been shuffled between relatives and foster homes, he recognized her desperate need for stability. Later, when she nearly got into a fight, he redirected her anger by helping her make a birthday card for her 99-year-old great-grandmother, a small success that opened the door to deeper communication. Perhaps most remarkably, Danza connected with Alex, a 10th grader who wandered into his classroom one morning. Living in his step-uncle's foster home after losing both parents, his father in a car accident and his mother to murder, Alex shared his poetry binder filled with profound works about bullying, sorrow, and teen suicide. Danza encouraged Alex to compete in poetry slams, helped improve his performance skills, and even arranged for him to read his environmental poem over the school intercom on Earth Day. Alex later competed in the Philly Youth Poetry Contest and traveled to Los Angeles for national competition, becoming Northeast Poet Laureate. Through these informal mentoring relationships, Danza learned that teaching extends far beyond curriculum delivery. As Miss Dixon explained when he questioned whether he could continue carrying such emotional weight, "That's what it takes, baby. That's what it takes." Beyond individual student challenges, Danza encountered the complex educational system itself. Northeast faced intense pressure over standardized testing after failing to achieve adequate yearly progress the previous year. During practice testing, Danza made a serious mistake by allowing students extra time with calculators, earning a stern rebuke from math department head Chuck Carr. Though Carr privately shared doubts about standardized testing's value, he acknowledged the high stakes involved. Schools failing to meet benchmarks faced increased district scrutiny and potential restructuring. Danza was shocked to learn that Northeast would be held accountable for students who didn't even attend their school, and that despite gains in most categories, they would again fail to make AYP, becoming an empowerment school with increased oversight. This experience highlighted the disconnect between policy metrics and classroom realities. Teacher workload emerged as another systemic issue. While Danza taught just one class, regular teachers managed five classes with approximately 150 students total. At a gym workout, a fellow teacher vented about balancing the student load, many with serious home problems, plus overwhelming paperwork requirements. This led Danza to envision a 3/5 solution, reducing teacher loads to three classes instead of five, expensive but potentially transformative for education quality. The teacher's lounge revealed further systemic challenges. During Friday happy hours that Danza organized at Nick's Roast Beef, conversations inevitably circled back to job security concerns. Despite his high teacher rating, veteran Tim Flaherty warned new teachers they were at the mercy of the administration and district without union protection. This sparked debate about whether teachers' unions sometimes protected underperforming teachers at students' expense, and whether contract provisions should be reconsidered during budget crises. Resource inequality became evident when Dr. G, a science teacher Danza admired, commented that the money spent on laptops in affluent Lower Merion could have transformed his science lab at Northeast. Even the aloe plant Dr. G gave Danza wasn't actually a gift. He was just taking care of it till the end of the year because resources were so scarce. Through these experiences, Danza gained insight into education's systemic challenges beyond individual classroom dynamics. Standardized testing pressures, teacher workload, union politics, and resource inequalities that shaped the environment in which teaching and learning occurred. Teaching proved far more emotionally demanding than Danza anticipated. Early in the year, during a hallway conversation with David Cohn, Danza broke down sobbing when asked if he'd cried yet. David reassured him this was normal. One colleague used to cry at his desk every day after school. This emotional vulnerability became a recurring theme throughout Danza's teaching journey. The student's life circumstances frequently moved him to tears. When Paige performed a poem about an absent father, Danza was visibly emotional, turning it into a teachable moment. That's what poetry does to us. That's why we read poems, to get in touch with our feelings and emotions. Similarly, Brittany's heartbreaking letter about sexual abuse in foster care required official reporting and resulted in her placement in another home, a necessary intervention that nonetheless weighed heavily on Danza. The contrast between his own childhood and his students' realities hit home when Al G submitted an assignment describing a terrifying incident where two boys pulled guns at a basketball court. When Danza asked if he still went to that park, Al casually replied, "Course," since it was near his home. The stark difference between dodging bullets and Danza's toughest childhood memory, helping his uncle lay linoleum, underscored the vastly different worlds they inhabited. As the school year wound down, Danza's emotions intensified. After walking out during a particularly chaotic class, his students followed him into the hallway, surrounding him with unexpected affection that reduced him to tears, much to their amusement. During the final week, when students asked why he was so crabby, he broke down crying again, overwhelmed by emotion. His tears prompted the students to gather around him in a huddle. Even Al G joined in, as they comforted him while he expressed how much they had changed his life. Two students, Paige and Tiana, convinced him to watch Freedom Riders, despite his resistance to some sappy movie. They watched him instead of the film as he sobbed through the entire movie, their final test to see if he truly cared. One line from the film resonated deeply with him when the teacher says, "In that classroom, my life makes sense." This emotional journey culminated in his students' parting gift, a memory album filled with photos, notes, and a list of his top 10 dumb, annoying habits. One page showed him at a football game with the caption, "Our Atticus," a comparison to the moral hero from To Kill a Mockingbird that humbled him deeply. As he drove away on the final day, feeling bereft, he spotted Daniel and Alex at an intersection and beeped his horn. They responded with radiant grins and pretend tap dancing, a bittersweet farewell to his teaching experience. As Danza's train pulled out of Philadelphia, he reflected on whether his teaching mission had been successful. He worried about becoming too attached to his single class and inserting himself into students' lives only to leave them. Yet he reminded himself that teachers and students have been parting ways forever. What matters is what they take with them. Opening Miss Dixon's parting gift, he found a beautiful wooden plaque with the starfish story. A man throwing stranded starfish back into the ocean one by one, making a difference to each individual, even if he can't save them all. This metaphor resonated deeply. Perhaps he didn't get all his students in the water, but he got most closer to it. Perhaps that's all any teacher can do. The television show itself proved disappointing. A&E finally premiered Teach on October 1, 2010, but buried it in a late Friday night slot where it was virtually guaranteed to fail. When the network head later admitted he never expected people would watch a show about education, Danza realized this attitude perfectly mirrored America's approach to education, treating it as a good cause while hoping to get lucky rather than investing the necessary effort. Since leaving Northeast, Danza stayed connected with students and teachers through email. Budget cuts forced out many newer teachers, while veterans like Chuck Carr and Lynn Dixon retired. The students' lives continued on their roller coasters, especially Alex, whose journey from summer camp to foster family to living with his brother was filled with ups and downs. Though Danza concluded he might not be cut out for a classroom career, he committed himself to supporting education however possible, volunteering, donating, and advocating. His final message emphasized that everyone has a stake in America's educational future, and closed with the title sentiment, "To every teacher he ever had, he would like to apologize." Danza's journey from celebrity to teacher revealed education's profound challenges and rewards. Through his struggles with lesson planning, classroom management, and emotional boundaries, he gained newfound respect for the teaching profession. His experience highlighted both the systemic obstacles educators face and the transformative impact they can have on individual lives. Most importantly, he discovered that authentic teaching isn't about performance, but connection, creating moments where both students and teachers find meaning, purpose, and growth together. Danza's teaching experiment yielded profound personal transformation. The man who entered Northeast High as a celebrity left as an educator with hard-earned insights about both teaching and himself. His final exam results revealed that his students had internalized his most important lessons: make the best of a bad situation, take part in your own education, and books are more than books, they are stories too. Even his most challenging student, Al, showed growth. Initially cocky and disengaged, Al reminded Danza painfully of his teenage self. Their breakthrough came when Danza visited Al during in-school suspension and asked, "Is this where you belong?" Though Al barely responded, he thanked Danza for coming. Later, Danza teamed up with Al's math teacher for a role reversal exercise where Danza mimicked Al's disruptive behaviors while Al attempted to teach, giving him a taste of what teachers endure. By year's end, Al visited silently after class, a sign of their hard-earned mutual respect. The graduation ceremony where Danza delivered the commencement address represented the culmination of his journey. He reminded the graduates they'd accomplished something nearly 50% of their peers don't, finishing high school. He urged them to find their passion, not waste time, take care of themselves, and be responsible with their choices. He closed with Kipling's poem If and a final rallying cry, "Any Vikings in the house?" that brought the stadium to a roar. Though Danza's teaching career lasted just 1 year, his experience offers valuable lessons about education in America. The contrast between his single-class teaching load and regular teachers' five-class responsibilities highlights the need for structural reforms. The standardized testing pressures that dominated Northeast's agenda reveal the gap between policy metrics and meaningful learning. The resource disparities between Northeast and wealthier districts underscore education's inequities. Yet amid these systemic challenges, Danza's story ultimately affirms teaching's transformative potential. When he tells his students, "You've changed my life," he speaks a profound truth about education's reciprocal nature. Teachers and students shape each other through their shared journey, creating meaning that extends far beyond curriculum or test scores. In that classroom, as the teacher in Freedom Writers says, life makes sense, not because teaching is easy or perfect, but because it matters in ways that transcend both Hollywood glamour and educational bureaucracy.